Today, we're already in chapter 3 of the letter to the Hebrews. And this is an exhortation to his audience to listen to the Word of God, take it in, and obey it. And the kind of thinking that's going on here lays the foundation for 2 millennia now of how to read the Old Testament. The Lord was there. St. Irenaeus says, the Logos was there. He spoke with Abraham. He guided Moses, you see. The Logos was always present. And that means that there's a relationship between what is enacted in the Old Testament and what happens in the New Testament. And that's why, for instance, in Luke 24, in the Gospel, Luke tells us that he showed them all that was concerning him in the Scriptures. Well, what's concerning him? The only Scriptures are the Old Testament. And he opened up for them, you see, the Old Testament. That it, what it really is a previous realization on a lower level of the whole mystery of salvation. And that's why our Lord argues, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. So will. In other words, it's the same reality on a much higher plane. So our author, who is filled with this understanding, is now using this exhortation from the psalm we have for the invitatory psalm, actually, and says, look, this applies more to you than to them. Oh, today that you'd hear his voice, harden not your hearts as at the rebellion, as in the day of testing. That applies to us in a more powerful way than it did to the Jews, because we have his voice. We haven't even have his human voice. You see? And so this he's, where your ancestors tested and tried me and saw my works. Because of this, I was provoked with that generation. And I said, they have always been a erring heart. In other words, now, my friends, these words could apply to us. That's his point. See that? That happened on this level. But now, with God himself incarnate, these words take on their full meaning. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. Now, he's probably addressing a community somewhere. We know very little about that part of it. Obviously, it's a predominantly Jewish Christian community, or he wouldn't be able to argue this way yet. And he's going to tell them later, You suffered the loss of your goods when you were put into jail, and so they have been persecuted, this group. Huh? But don't have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. Encourage yourself daily while it is still today. Today, if you would only hear his voice. Well, what's the today? The today is today. Because every day is today. God reaches us, God speaks to us, God guides us every day. Do we listen, you see? And then, translated partners of Christ, sharers in Christ. If we only hold the beginning of the reality firm, this is elegant, as I say, elegant Greek, sometimes it's hard. We've got the beginning of our eternal salvation right now. The Trinity dwells in us. If all of a sudden we were to die, the whole room, boom, the most obvious thing in the reality and in this room would become obvious to us, the glorious splendor of the eternal Trinity who dwells in us, animating us, preparing us for an eternal life with him. So that's what our author is telling us, to be sharers in Christ and hang on to this beginning of these realities which we already possess and which will be confirmed in us by the Eucharist. Well, since he does so much of it, we'll be back to that. But it's, the point is that that Old Testament, it isn't that you take images from it and say, oh, well, I could apply that to the New Testament. No, it's the same act of God on a lower level. And so you can read it and see what's going on. And that's what's called the spiritual sense of Scripture. When Jesus argued there at the resurrection from the Scriptures that the Messiah had to suffer and so enter his glory, what Scriptures was he quoting? St. Paul? No. The Scriptures of the Old Testament.